Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson.
Welcome all on the World Wide Web. We'd like to take a moment of silence and pay our respect here at Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network to one Dave Duerson, also known as Double D, here on Voice America Sports. Many of you know him from Notre Dame football, as well as the Chicago Bears winning a National Football League championship in 1985. I know he's especially true to our heart, and he has friends here at the station with one of our executive producers, Ray Ellis. So our hearts and families definitely go out to Dave Duerson, and he's definitely missed, and wish his family the best. As we transition to the game of football, so NFL. I mean, I wasn't here last week, but I know you guys talked about the Super Bowl, and I did pick Green Bay Packers to go.
From the beginning.
I didn't necessarily pick them to win, but I picked them to go. So, I mean, did you guys talk about the game?
we did.
So, that means I know what I'm talking about a little bit.
A little
more than me, huh?
I mean, after they put it on one Keon Campbell's brother in the Arizona Cardinals two years back and scored back-to-back 40-yard games, I knew that they were for real. You know, and I just knew it took some time. But, again, and David, I know that I'm not sure. I wasn't able to listen to the cast last week. But, I mean, I know that you and I talked about it. We watched the game together. All three of us did.
Right.
But we said they made three turnovers, which they only really made one. One was Ben's responsibility. The other two were caused. Mm-hmm. So you have to give the Green Bay Packers a lot of credit. I mean, two major keys of their team went down. I mean, they battled adversity all year, sure, and they were still able to be successful. So that's a testament to not only the depth of that team, but the coaching as well.
I don't disagree with that. I think the best team won. Okay, three turnovers, whatever. You know what? They went out on the field. Green Bay Packers did, and they won the game. I thought they had the best quarterback. I don't think that's even open for debate.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
304 yards, three touchdowns.
Easy could have thrown for 100 more.
He did his
but
thing.
For about seven other drops or
mm-hmm.
so. They were more complete team. They were the best team that day.
And even the defense, and I mean, we thought that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense was going to overshadow with all the big names: Woodley, the Harrisons, the linebackers, obviously Defensive Player of the Year Troy Polamalu, and I mean, for much little was said, although that I mean, he got a new. A Schwab contract and Matthews, as well as Charles Woodson, last year's Defensive Player of the Year. But the no-name really secondary besides Woodson, and they came up and stepped up big against Ben Roethlisberger in that defense. But I will say one causing tale to me, I thought, was that fumble late in the third. I believe it was the third
Mendenhall,
quarter.
Right. Going in, it looked like the momentum had shifted. The Pittsburgh Steelers were obviously closing the gap and, again, making moves. But when plays needed to be made, who made them? Green Bay did. And with the fumble, there went the momentum. There went the complete shift of the game totally, and they held on Green Bay to win it.
Talking about shift, talking about gaps, transition, or segues, as we do here at Planet Gridiron, talking about this mediation. Did I get the word right, Dave?
Mediation
between the National Football League and the players' union representatives, and they said this is going to consist of the next 7 days.
Right. They just said 7 days.
Consecutive days?
That, apparently so. There's going to be that. There's going to be a time, at least, to put some of this animus and hostility aside and begin to focus in
now,
on
this is a federal group, a federal...
Federal representative.
Federal mediator, but he doesn't have the authority to bind anyone.
Uh-huh.
This is more or less to get somebody...
This is the third party.
Yeah. So they can be so productive as opposed to
Dave,
being hostile.
And Dave, in define the mediator's responsibilities or job titles or duties for our listeners out here in Planet Gridiron.
Well, in a non-binding setting, what you want to do is you want to encourage the parties, obviously, to talk, mm-hmm. to engage in meaningful negotiations.
But, I mean, they're about $1 billion apart right now.
Yeah. There's a long way to go, but at this point, prior to the infusion, if you will, or introduction into a mediator, you had nothing. You had people that were angry. They were not willing to enter in any dialogue, and you had people unwilling to meet. At least at a minimum now, we're having...
Okay, but looking at both sides, the owners want $1 million off top.
$1 billion
more. $1 billion more. Well, they want $2 billion off top. Correct. I mean, before y'all come out the gate, just say it's $9 billion total pot. They want to start off the gate at $2
million $2 billion.
And then split revenues 50-50. Possibly extend the season to 18 games, and is it make some concessions in healthcare?
You're going to have to make those concessions if you want 18.
Well, that's what the players want,
right?
The
players and they're going to have to.
No,
they
said 18 games and take a pay cut. So David, to me, I mean, obviously the art of negotiation is this more so coming out strong and then peeling it back from there, or is that just insult?
Hit them high, huh? Hit them high, watch them
fly. You know, if people can say, in my humble opinion, what I think is going to happen is the owners are going to win. They're going to get basically most of the concessions that they want.
So will this be a lockout? Do you think it'll be a lockout?
I think it's
going to
be a lockout.
Or will there be something happen by the deadline, March 3rd?
I just can't see with the present posture of the
7 days, though. 7 days.
Well, aren't the owners guaranteed $5 billion anyway if they don't play?
Well, there's certain,
no, that's a TV revenue.
There's TV revenue, and there's certain kickbacks within that contract that have to be paid back.
Yeah, well, what happens is if they don't play this year, say, for example, what a lot of people are saying, oh, the owners are getting paid X amount of dollars, and they're going to get paid no matter what. I mean, it's like stories get misconstrued.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So say, for example, if they don't play this year, yes, they get $5 million, but say at the end of that contract year, they won't receive any money for that last year. So it appears, yeah, they're getting compensated for the year.
It's in
but
advance.
It's in advance.
Really
I
essentially
see what you're saying.
So that football will be played, and they will have to, in essence, there will be a time period where they won't see any revenues for that year. But $5 billion is $5 billion.
Correct. You're paying for product, and if you don't get product, you're not going to pay for it.
The players are asking for a bit more than money, though. I mean, more money for retired players, maybe health care, and some other things they're asking for in there.
And they're also talking about complete sharing of all revenues. So they're saying 50-50. It's my understanding that that's not what the prior.
Well, I mean, due to federal regulations, the NFL owners do not have to share their books with the public, because there's some stipulation in that. Well, I know like Major League Baseball does. I mean,
NBA does it.
Yeah, NBA does it. I mean, they have to share that because they don't necessarily share the revenues with the players. But
what's the reason for that? Proprietary reasons? I mean, is there something in there that
called it's called ownership?
Right.
Out of massa. That's what it's called.
And so the NFL is so unique. All of these sports leagues are all unique in terms of you still have employee-employer relationships, but it's a different dynamic than, let's say, working at Microsoft. Can you imagine walking in as a VP telling, you know, Bill Gates, you won't see his books because you don't believe how much money he's making?
But my whole thing is this, guys. I mean, understanding the complexity of the game and understanding, and I mean, being in an MBA and understanding the business aspect, understanding the human relationship, I mean, the human resources aspect in terms of customer service, and the customers are your players and the consumers. So, I mean, as you said, Dave, it's a unique situation in that they want to make the players happy, but at the same time, it's like as the ownership, it's like you're the dad off Friday when he's talking about Pop's Barbecue. When they trying to mess everything up, you know, he's like, I started this foot, you know what I'm saying, this football stuff, and this is the thanks I get, you know. But at the same time, your player's like, I built this, I helped do this, and to me, I look at it.
Are the players employees? Do they 1099 them or W-2 them?
The W-2, they're employees.
W-2, they're employees.
Yeah,
so
they're employees.
Workman's comp, and there's
absolutely
all kinds of stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, my thing is, like, I look at the other aspect of the impact that football has on people's lives. It is like being in a car accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does take a catastrophic effect on your life. And, I mean, I don't care if you make multi-millions of dollars. It takes an impact both emotionally and physically on your life. And then once your game's over, that's when really I'd say the rewards of the game stop. And I think that there needs to be more, I guess, funds allocated in that transition out of the game, so players are prepared, because that to me, that's just shocking. And I'm not saying this because I'm out, but I've been able to open my eyes and see that divorce rate, the 70% basically.
I think the most important,
bankruptcy. I mean, just all the negative factors.
The most
important
would be the health care, though. You know, to make
that,
sure
I mean,
your brain, your back, your legs, everything's in shape, and that you can go get health care without spending all your money
without question. I mean, especially if the game's so profitable, and as we're talking about billions of dollars, one would think that the players are protected and wouldn't have to worry about one of the things that are major concern of them, which is their health.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I hope that they could come to some understanding. And
well, is there
where do you start
now? What's in place now for a retired player from the NFL? How long do they get health care?
Well,
or do they?
Once you become vested, you have 5 years. Five years total removed from the game. So 5 years. Once you, well, I guess your last date. So for me, it was. I mean, my last date of health insurance would be ending right around like November or September. I want to say. So that would be my 5 calendar years
out of the league.
Out of the league.
And what is vested?
Certain number of games played in a season that gives you what they call an accrued season.
And so say for example, if you worked at you work for the state and you have to work 20 years to get your pension.
Right.
I mean, because the game's so high risk and because it's so much, I guess, stress, and there's a high probability that not that many people. I mean, there's 1,500 people that play in the National Football League.
Right.
And in order, I guess, they take the factors. If you play 3 years, three games, you become vested. You receive your pension. So that when that happens, players get that the benefits of.
Is that a big day for a lot of players? Or
yes, I know it was a celebration for me.
Was it?
Yeah. I remember Bowie. I talked to Bowie about it when he vested, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I got pension now."
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And I mean, and obviously, your pension will increase. I mean, once you hit the retirement age, like say, for example, a guy like Emmitt Smith who played 13, 14 years,
right.
His pension will be considerably different than mine will at 45. I mean, because I only played 5 years. First 14 years.
Do you start getting paid at 45?
Or at 50, 45 or 55.
You can 55.
But
you
also, retirement.
But there's also an annuity options that you can invest in that have kickbacks. You also have the NFLPA union dues that you pay, and they start to kick back. You start getting those union due checks after 10 years. So what I'm trying to say, there are a lot of I mean, NFL does a good job of things set in place to cater towards the NFL transitioning out. I'd say right about 5 years, but once that 5 years is done, which you think about it, for a lot of companies don't do. Once you get terminated or once you're not in the league,
right.
There's no more.
You get a severance.
See, I tend to think that the NFL particularly.
You don't always get a severance package.
No, not always.
Right, it depends. But I think the NFL does an excellent job, I'm sorry, of how they transition to players in terms of preparing them. The problem you run into is with any professional athlete is that they have a skill, that does not.
It's called back to life.
Right. It doesn't,
back to reality.
Right. It doesn't transition very well into the real world.
Right.
And not only that, you're not going to command that type of salary, yet you need to sustain a certain lifestyle that
exactly.
You become accustomed to.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem with it. Okay?
It's called transition management.
Exactly.
And that's like and a great class we need to have. No, no one's really prepared
does
for it.
Does it exist?
Especially now because it's becoming more aware of the big name players and with social media. I mean, no one wants to see that story. They don't want their brand associated. The NFL doesn't want their brand associated with these top notch. They don't want William the Refrigerator Perry to be on the baddest boxer club with no teeth talking about, yeah, I ain't got nothing.
Yep.
You know
what I mean?
Leon Spinks.
They don't want that. They want their players to be celebrated and live forever and engulf the game. But
this will be forever a problem. I don't care.
I think it could be a problem.
Because of what you're starting with to begin with as that person enters into the NFL.
Because it's just hard because their whole life they've been seen as different. And then once you have to basically acclimate yourself back to reality. And that's what it really is. When you're playing in the National Football League, and I speak from experience, you're ignorant of reality.
Because it's
really
not your reality. It's not everyone else's.
So as you come out of the league and you sit there and you say, what am I going to do now? Do you think about what did I major in college?
What's my degree in? I have a certain set of skills.
I think you're an exception, though.
You are an exception
compared to most of the people that I had an opportunity to be around.
But I will say I was fortunate enough to speak with one Roland Hill in the bleachers at a cheetah track practice, and we went over life's lessons and goals and possibilities, and he provided some direction in my life because I was
at a
point where.
What'd you go to school for?
Yeah,
communications.
I was sitting there and I saw this man, and he really didn't look like he was from Latin America, but he definitely acted like he was. And
he's Dominican.
He could speak very fluent Spanish.
That's just Dominican.
And he seemed very cultured and almost like he had the King's English, how he was just commanding sentences. And I was
Queen's English?
Yeah.
Of course she's English.
That's right. But no, I mean, he was just, I don't know, it was just his presence was compelling to me, and it felt like I had to have some direction in my life. So I thank you, Roland, for that.
Well, you're welcome.
And I appreciate that, and you've definitely been a gift to me and my family.
You're doing
ever
good.
Since.
You're doing well.
But no, I think that with the transition program, it will enable players to be better prepared. That being said, I know that we only have a couple more seconds before we go to break. But when you're in it, it's hard to think that it will be over. And we'll talk more about that as we come back after the break. In studio one, Dave Lockhart, Roland Hill, Damian Anderson, and also Keon Campbell. We'll talk to you guys in about 60. Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson.
Now, before we went to break, in the inception of the show, we were talking about the NFL labor dispute. Now, hopefully, they just get that resolved. And you got any points you want to make on that, Dave? As we
no, get it done, please, so we can all enjoy football.
Okay, exactly. Back to football.
Exactly.
But no, but in the sense, I just want to talk about this topic. In the sense of rivalry, I mean, there's some great storied rivalries in the game. I mean, football related and as well as outside the game. We got Duke, North Carolina,
sure.
Ohio State, Michigan. We got Florida and all the Florida teams State. Of Florida State yeah. as well as Miami. We also have Army, Navy, and Northwestern Illinois. I mean, just don't.
And right here in the Valley.
You're right. Arizona, U of A, as well as, I named them all. But, I mean, they just take it to a whole nother level.
NAU and...
did you guys hear the story?
Weber State.
Yeah, Weber State.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
They're taking it to a whole nother level nowadays. Now they're just...
They're killing nature.
They're killing nature.
Out in Alabama.
Did you guys hear about this story?
I did.
The Oaks at Toomer's Corner, poisoned by a 62-year-old man, Harvey Updike Jr.
Allegedly,
right. Okay. Toomer's Corner is at Auburn, right?
Correct.
It's in Auburn. It's where fans celebrate major victories. He's charged with first-degree criminal mischief, bond of $50,000, faces 1 to 10 years in prison. And he also called a radio show to profess his guilt and admit for poisoning the trees, police claim. Trees probably won't survive. And these trees are known to be over 100 years old and will cost potentially $30,000 for them to uproot.
Per tree?
Yeah, per tree for them if they were to uproot them.
To take them out.
Yeah,
to take
have
them
to out. Do. Yeah, he introduced some
the
chemical.
People. They need and to call
not
Jose.
Only that, they've indicated that they've damaged the soil surrounding the trees
right.
where it may not be an opportunity where nothing will ever grow there again.
Ever again.
On that soil, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dave, as you mentioned, a great rivalry here in the state of Arizona.
We got some trees out here, man.
Between Arizona and Arizona and State. And would you ever take it to that level? I mean, you played the game. You played for University of Arizona. Did you ever think about want to maliciously
come up
besides
here and steal
on the, besides on the football field, do anything ever to offend an ASU I'd say fan or player.
No, not me personally.
He wouldn't admit it on the radio.
No, I'm pretty real with mine. I'll be honest with you, okay? And, you know, not to me. You know, this is still a game. And, yes, when we play within the confines of the lines, I want to win, but I don't want to injure or maim anyone either, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, it's meant to be played hard, but it's also been meant to be played with sportsmanship, okay?
Right.
So, but let's take it outside of that. Just to me, the bantering back and forth that goes on between—
Is Harvey Updike a fool?
Yeah. I would have to say so. He is a complete and utter fool. But that, you know what? Another example of about the craziness of SEC football. Mm-hmm. This is another demonstration of it. For there, it really is life. It really is religion. It is taken extremely and way too serious.
But, I mean, I met a congressman not too long ago. I mean, he got his undergrad from Alabama. He got his PhD from, it was something along those lines, from Auburn. So, I mean, and he was both a fan for Auburn and Alabama. I mean, why do you think it's taken so seriously, Dave?
The game of football?
The game of football, or the rivalry, the tradition.
They have nothing else to
first
do.
Right, I was about to say, first of all, you need to look at... Okay, now, hold on now. All right. I'm born and raised in SEC country. Okay. Now, if you think about where...
Is slavery abolished there?
SEC, okay.
Is slavery abolished there?
No, little brother. No, I thought some little brother.
Is slavery abolished there?
Last I checked, you know, let me see, 90, yeah. Yeah, okay. That kind of stuff was no longer tolerated, shall we say. But if you think about the cauldron that is the SEC, of where these schools, one, are established, they generally are in very small towns. So let's think about Oxford, Mississippi, where you have Ole Miss. Yeah. You know, Athens is where Georgia is. You have Little Rock, Fayetteville, where you have Arkansas. All of these are very small towns where there is nothing there but the universities there. Okay, mm-hmm. And then the game of football galvanizes the community.
So what is this incident do for fans at Auburn, and not only this rivalry come next year?
It just throws flames on the fire.
Does it incite it?
It is definitely much more insightful. And the
without
Iron Bowl,
Cam Newton?
Iron Bowl should be very colorful.
Without Cam Newton, without Mark Ingram?
Well, I mean, hey, those people are replaceable. We have those people. We have Heisman Trophy winners every year that come out of that general area.
Look at the bright side of it, though. Next year when they have their bonfire, they'll have enough wood.
There you go, capitalizing on opportunity.
You always have to find that silver lining, so we thank Mr. Roland Neal for that. But
I don't mean to pour salt in the room, but I envision one of those Sports Illustrated commercials. When you're 2010 Auburn Tigers, get a piece of tradition with the, what is it called, Dave? The tumors, comers, wood.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get a DVD memorial collection.
Oh,
you
piece get the wood, chunk of wood.
Get a log on a mantle. But I don't know. I mean, I just think it's obviously taken too far in this situation. And
but why would you poison a tree? What would make you think to poison a tree?
Like Dave said, how can I get them where it hurts?
Yeah, exactly.
If I can't get to Cam Newton, I'm going to
steal the tree. Yeah. I'm going to take down the tree, the fortress. I mean, it makes no sense. None.
No, but I mean, I hope.
Could you defend him?
Absolutely. If he got the green, I can do it. If he's got the green backs, I will pontificate for that.
What would be his defense, Dave? Insanity?
I didn't do it. Oh, no, it'd be basically, state has the burden of proof, ladies and gentlemen. They must prove that kind of thing.
Right.
Know? I don't have to prove anything to you. He doesn't either.
If the second side doesn't reside, I can ride home.
If it doesn't make sense, if it doesn't fit, then you must acquit.
We got a caller. We'd like to welcome our section, Jay Wags, off the top rope. Jay Wags, how you doing, buddy?
Doing wonderful.
So fill us in, Jay Wags. Did you hear about this ordeal that happened down there in the SEC country with one Harvey Updike poisoning the tumors, corners, trees, the oaks?
Leave the trees alone. That's all I got to say about that.
Save the trees.
Don't mess with the trees.
Tree hugger.
Yeah. Okay. So Wags,
what did the tree ever do to you? That's my question.
No, I don't think it was that. It was how bad did.
I think it would have symbolized
it was Cam
Wags.
Newton did to him and took that ownership away from that SEC title. They had a lot of hope this year going into the football season.
Well, I could have been a part of stuff where defacing good stuff in the past, back when I was in high school. When we took on our rival high school with football, I was asked to go along to paint the pride rock of the other school. I refused to do anything like that.
Oh, well, pride rock, I mean, I don't know if that is, does it continually get painted? Because we had a rock in Northwestern where it got painted everywhere.
It's one of those things, though, if it's the thing for the school and where they celebrate and all that and they use it for luck and all that, you shouldn't go from your school or college or whatever, go from there, go to the other one and damage any of the property or anything like that.
No, I agree. Anytime it becomes malicious and it there's law.
Yeah.
You question law. You've gone too far.
Well, some of this is certainly can be considered pranks, but to me this goes beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
I agree with that.
Anytime that you have to ask a question, right. You should do
it. It's criminal activity.
Right.
Okay.
we against the law.
I mean, right.
Anytime, is this against the law?
You need to contact a lawyer for advice prior to engaging in the conduct.
Yeah.
Then you need to probably err on the side of caution and not do it.
So Wax, what's going on, man? You off the top rope lately? What's the word?
Yeah, I'm going to be off the top rope tonight.
Are you?
In Moxville again.
What you got going on? You wig peeling tonight or what?
I don't know who I've got. The guy I was supposed to face, not sure the reasoning, but he canceled. He will not be showing up.
Oh,
that's because he had to
lose to
you.
Also, besides the match I was supposed to have, I'm supposed to be in a battle royal also.
Okay, but okay. I'm going to let you know.
I was trying to get a hold of Roland Hill earlier today.
No, Roland Hill's not here.
Hold on. Roland was running that match against me. I was going to tell him to fall on up. They got a spot for him.
Roland here, you can't be out talking me, Wags, on our show now.
It's my show, nigga.
Chilling. Dave, he turned into the straight up chilling sucker tonight.
But we don't have Roland here. We have Road Dogg in studio right now.
Yeah.
And we'll let
you know you gotta go in character, right?
Yeah, you gotta go in character.
Yeah.
We gotta let Road Dogg talk to you.
Road Dogg should have been up here for the match to fill in for Cobra, but he wasn't, so.
And I promise you this, Wags. I promise you, if me and Dave ever get the funds in order, Planet Grid ever get some sponsoring, we going to have a battle royale between Jay Wags
and Road Dogg. That will happen.
It's going to be a tack chair match.
A tack chair.
A tack chair, like tacks all around.
Hell yeah.
Why not make it a full Metal Mayhem match?
Ooh. Hey, that sounds good.
In all band instruments.
Sorry, Frankie, yeah. As a TNA fan, I know that that's probably copyrighted by them, and I'm not going to want to impose on that.
No, it's going to be all band. You can use all band instruments.
Yeah, bring your oboe.
You can use it. So Wax, so fill us in. Let people know where they can see you at tonight.
What was that? I didn't hear you. Somebody tried beeping in. I apologize.
Come on, Fag. You got to put us on the bat phone. Let everybody know where they could reach you and see you jump off the top rope tonight.
I'll be in Moxville, North Carolina at the Armory.
You say I'll be where I'm at.
That's where I'll be.
What time, Wax?
7:30 is bell time.
There it is, man.
You got that Facebook page. You're going to post that win, right, them results?
I'm hoping to.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's a W I'm posting tonight.
All right. Much love from the Planet Gridiron crew.
All right, Wax.
Y'all take it easy. Have a great weekend. And real quick, happy birthday, Grandma. Your birthday's on Sunday.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Bring them a win for a Wax.
Will do.
Wish you well.
Peace.
So, guys, we got the NBA All-Star Weekend coming up. You guys looking forward to it?
No.
Why not,
Dave?
To me, man, it is an exhibition. I kind of group them in the same long.
I want to see the Blake lines. Show.
Well, you want to see Dunk Show to see if he's going to live up to what he's done throughout the season.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I don't those situations where it's choreographed like this, I don't know if you're going to see the same type of
But you'll see 140 points on both sides, though. The game will be cool.
Well, I was talking about the dunk contest.
Oh, yeah, right.
Obviously, it's a little bit more difficult because, you know, that's
It's
more,
like so much has been done in the dunk contest. Right. What can you do differently?
Yeah, most of his jams that we all are oohing and ah about occur within the flow of the game.
Yeah, obviously. But I think it's just the magnitude of his size and his leaping ability that makes his dunk so
kind of
transcending.
Like Dwight Howard.
But a little bit more athletic.
He appears to be more athletic because
I think
he's also
he is,
shorter.
Dave.
He is. I agree.
Do you think everyone...
Shout out to Derrick Rose 42 last night.
Do you think everyone in the All-Star on the All-Star teams should be there, or do you think it's a popularity contest?
Of course it's a popularity contest.
Of course, and I was just going to get to that because what happened, Yao Ming was voted...
Received the most votes.
Did he play this year?
A couple of games. A couple games.
Did he play?
You know what I mean? A couple. And what, Tim Duncan just got voted in his place?
Well, he was voted as a reserve. He's going to be the starter.
Wait a minute.
But he's going to be the starter, right?
In all fairness to Yao Ming, he's got how many billions of people over there?
But that's what I'm trying to say. That's
the problem.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, it is.
Is that what happened? So, okay.
The Chinese market, obviously.
Okay.
Influenced him over. Gave him the number of votes he needs.
Okay, that's what it was. Because you said he was the number one.
He's number one vote getter.
I mean, more than Tarantula.
More than Kobe.
More than Kobe. More than LeBron. I mean, speaking about that, I know that you guys probably didn't talk about it, but the Celtics played Miami for the third time this
year? Beat them
down. Beat them again. I mean, it was a close game. I mean, they were up by, I think, at some point, like 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
They brought it close towards the last seconds. Can this team beat the Celtics come playoff time?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Why not?
They're not
expound
built.
Upon that, Dave.
They're not built for playoff wins. And what I mean by that is they don't have the necessary inside presence size to counteract what they're going to run against the Celtics. Not
so,
only that,
I mean, but is Shaq a presence? Is Shaq an imposing presence?
He is enough of a presence when you put him against what the Miami.
But they're
going
to get is it Haslam back?
Udonis Haslam?
Yeah, is that
so
him?
What?
Okay, but he's a body. You can bang with him and Big Baby.
Well, you got Big Baby. You also have Kevin Garnett. You also have Kendrick Perkins.
Kevin Garnett isn't a banger anymore. He has a 15-second jump shot.
He can do enough, though, inside, internally.
What they have to worry about is Ray Allen, because that is killer. Yeah. You got Paul Pierce.
And Rajon Rondo.
Rondo, yes,
where he
sir.
Runs the game.
We'll talk more about that coming up after the break. Like, thank Jay Wags for calling in. Roland Hill, Dave Lockhart, myself, Damian Annis. We'll be back after the break. Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports. No.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson.
Welcome back. And here we go. Dave, I want to talk to you about, with the labor disputes going on with the NFL, I mean, there was some rumoring about the players might boycott the combine.
Yeah, I did hear that.
So, I mean, they decided that that's not going to happen. They're going to go ahead with it.
Very idle. That carried no weight whatsoever.
Which players? The ones that are trying to get in the league?
Right. They ain't even players as far as I'm concerned. You know, what are you doing with the NFLPA? Nothing. So, whatever. They're going to go to that combine.
They're going to go?
Yeah.
So do you think, I mean, as this relates to the NFL and the CBA, the new CBA, will there be a rookie cap, do you think?
Yeah, there's going to be some form of rookie cap, absolutely.
So, I mean, define to the fans, how is that in place in basketball or even baseball?
Well, if you
are they similar, are they different?
Okay, well, we don't know what they're going to do with the NFL in terms of the dynamics.
I mean, it has to be.
It's going
to
be a slotted system.
Allocate more funds, obviously. I mean, it's a slotted system now.
Yeah.
When you think about it, but they just paid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sam Bradford made $50 million.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. What did I just saw that was it the quarterback for the Patriots?
Brady
just got 4 years, $72 million. Think about that.
Think
about that.
I agree.
Sam Bradford, what is it?
First year,
$50 million
of a guarantee.
And Brady has three rings.
Correct.
Been to four Super Bowls.
It's insane.
And this guy got $50 million and he's never played a game.
It's insane.
So what can you see happening? I mean, does it start at 20 now and then it just gets back up?
It's going to be significantly different. It's going to be a slotted system. They're going to have, obviously, a rookie pool versus what they call the veteran pool, as you're familiar with.
Okay.
And they're going to take that rookie pool and they're going to just shrink it down. Mm-hmm. Now, the percentages may be the same, meaning that the first-round pick generally gets somewhere between 95% to 98% of your rookie pool.
Okay, but Dave, that being said, What does it is? Does inflation affect this? Does it go up every year? Like, what do you do?
I'm sure it does, because just like the cap does go up each year now based upon the revenues generated the preceding year. Before they establish the cap, it would occur with the passing of each year as well.
Okay.
So I imagine, yeah, the cap is going to go up, but it's still going to be slotted where you're not going to have an individual like a Sam Bradford who was deserving
of the
first
pick. But I mean, I want people. I'm just saying, wow. I mean, he's absolutely.
He shouldn't get that money. No,
but
wow, he shouldn't.
That's some serious lot. Some serious
money. A lot of money for somebody who had not done anything.
Right.
A lot of money
yet.
Right.
Because I mean, we all could attest to he's a great quarterback.
I think he had a wonderful year. I think he's on the verge of being a great quarterback. I do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I mean,
that
being said,
that kind of money, I could play.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah.
I would try.
Okay.
I would try.
Okay.
Boy, I'd be on that slim slow. I'd be on that slim slow right now, boy.
Had the best teachers in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Best quarterback coaches in the game.
For that, yes.
Like, for $50 million, like, well, he can't do much, but man, he got some good technique.
Exactly. He look good on that drop, don't he?
Throw the hell out that ball. Can't hit nobody.
But no, I mean, but do you know what the difference is, or basketball or baseball has in place right now in terms of the rookie cap or rookie pool?
They don't really have a rookie cap, obviously, in the Major League Baseball. Structure totally different. You have a certain number of
you
years.
You can only make X.
You make only a certain number of dollars, right.
Okay, so Dave, let me ask you this. So when you hear about the baseball players, or like a Drew Henson coming from Michigan,
yeah,
signed a $20 million deal with the Yankees.
He did Yankees.
So is it not until 2 years can he get those funds, or how does that affect?
Most of the money he's going to receive has to be in the form of a signing bonus is what he gets.
Okay.
That's what happens there. So you have these huge signing bonuses.
Okay.
But you don't earn a salary commensurate with what they're talking about in terms of numbers until you have a certain number of seasons that you serve.
So I think you mentioned Ryan Howard.
Right.
Was when he won the MVP.
Made like $400,000 that year.
Right. Which is a lot, ladies and gentlemen. But considering he's the best player in the Baseball Association.
Well, right. You think about he was the Major League Baseball
player.
When
Albert Pujols is trying to get $20 million a year.
That year, Pujols probably made $18 million. But
right.
Yet, Ryan Howard was considered the best player in Major League Baseball.
And speaking of Pujols, I mean, he put a self-imposed deadline for Wednesday.
Which is a fake get deadline. We all know it. Because if they walk in today and say, hey, I'm giving you 10-year, $300 million.
I mean, but let me throw this out there. Does that dude look 31?
No.
He looks like a grown man.
That's them lying-ass Dominican birth certificates. That's what that is. That, them fake old birth certificates.
He looks like he could be my daddy.
He's 14.
Yeah. With the white out, they brought on the birth certificate.
They faxed it in.
Exactly.
Xerox copy.
You know what? I'm 40, okay? And I'm looking at him.
Right.
His hairline has gone back further than mine, okay? Let's be honest, okay? Right. Now, the male pattern baldness, now, give me a break.
Okay.
To a point, okay?
But not 31,
but
not
at 31, because I remember when I was 31, it wouldn't, you know, I got a 5 head, but I still had my 4 when I was 31, okay? All right. I just, you know what? They need to make all them cats coming from the Caribbean go through a dental exam.
But why?
A dental exam.
Because they'll tell you how old they are based on the teeth.
Really?
Yeah. They can tell you.
Really?
Yeah, real close how old they are.
Kind of like a tree, the rings on
but
the
I mean,
tree.
Does it really matter?
Yeah.
The man can ball. It matters from the standpoint of this. If he's asking for a 10-year contract. Okay, yeah, if he was 25 and he had that body of work for 7 or 8 years, yeah, I would consider a 10-year contract.
Okay.
Okay, 31, wink, wink, brother probably 35. Okay, I'm not giving him a 10-year contract. So we can forget that. If you're looking at that in terms of number
because
of
years. Because that's guaranteed.
Right. When he drops the hand on that line and signs, it's guaranteed.
Because let's break it down. Your buddy and the dude that just signed in for Boston, $100-something million.
Crawford.
Yeah. He's what, 28?
About 27, 28.
He looks very 27, 28.
He still looks like a kid.
Yes, and then you got Pujols.
Who look like?
So,
really?
So what happens?
Social Security is ready to start collecting stuff.
So what happens? He gets a 10-year deal, and at the
no
end
matter
of
what,
years,
he, if at the end of 5 years, years he wants says, to retire, it's
he still gets his money.
Well, if he retires, that's different.
Okay? Right, yeah.
But if he does, like,
a
your boy Albert Bell, he knew he couldn't play anymore. Everybody knew he couldn't play anymore because he had the arthritic hip. He went out there and had to be put on the physically unable to perform list. He did not retire, and he collected all his money.
Yeah. So it happens. It's about being intelligent about it. I mean, he probably sees it long term. I mean, granted, he's been playing, what, 10 years?
He's already been 8 to 10, correct.
Yeah, 8
Pujols to 10 years.
Has been in the game 10 years. I mean, don't get me wrong, a great body of work. No one's done what he's done for being in the league.
He's not worth that. I'm sorry. None of these baseball players are anyway, in my opinion. So.
But Dave, but as we talked about, if that were you, you would say, show me the money.
Oh, no,
Rod
I'm not,
Tidwell.
I'm not saying I'm not
Rod
signing.
Rod Tidwell.
I'm not saying I wouldn't sign.
Rod
Everybody
Tidwell,
would be
Dave.
A fool not to. Okay?
Right.
But he's not worth that kind of money. So,
okay, speaking of money,
Monet,
and who's going to get it out of this quarterback? I know this is your area of expertise.
I tend to be.
We're breaking down the quarterback position, Dave, and
are we going into the draft?
We're going into the draft.
Yes, sir.
Do we have any rolling? Can you give us some sounds or bells for the transition?
Ding, 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 ding. Ding.
There it is.
The San Francisco trolley.
For the draft perspective part of the show. So, I mean, we have some – what do you I've even heard some people say that there may not be a quarterback in the first round.
I wouldn't have a problem with saying that either. I don't think there's anybody – and I know everybody's saying Cam Newton.
But let me say this. What about – just before we go there, would the Cardinals be smart in selecting him at 5 to potentially deal him?
Why would you do that, though?
I mean, because someone may want him, get more draft picks in the first round. So well, I want to get two.
But see, it would be a difference in my mind if the Cardinals were
because he's valuable.
Well, if the Cardinals were 3-13 or 2-14, okay, because it's clear one player is not going to change a lot of that. The
quarterback can
that. To some degree.
Sam Bradford.
But would you think about Cam Newton as a quarterback though? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can't even question him as any other position.
If you're going to give Tim Tebow, if you could justify right, that person, yeah. You darn sure can justify Cam.
But hold
Newton.
On, Dave, I'm going to back it up one more step, but. Think about the NFC West.
How bad what poor it is.
I mean, yes, and what in terms of wins that separates you from the bottom to the bottom, and it's only I mean from the bottom to the top, and it's only what 3-4 wins.
And I know what you're saying. I like Sam Bradford, okay, in the way he performed,
right?
But I think that's a combination of how well they drafted over the course of the past 2-3 years. In addition,
Dave, but
to
I mean, you saw the injuries that they had this year at receiver.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, they had Steven Jackson.
But they got Steven Jackson. Right.
Okay, but I mean, if they know all you're going to do is run the ball,
all right.
And I mean, and I'm sure Sam Bradford. And I'm sure Sam Bradford benefited from having
a simplistic game plan.
Simplistic game plan, and just knowing that every defender is going to be in the box, and you're going to have one-on-one coverage on your receivers. That being said, the quarterback makes it. And I was one of those guys that you could go in there and have a great defense and not really need a quarterback. But this year has been a reality check for me. Mm-hmm. You need a quarterback in order to be successful, especially for these Arizona Cardinals.
Depending on what kind of system you hit the nail on the head. Depending on the system that you're going to run. If it's going to be quarterback dominated, meaning that a lot of reads, a lot of control.
And they've
of
just
the game
went through
plan.
Some transitions too. They named Ray Horton their defensive coordinator.
Sure.
They have Mike Miller the offensive coordinator. Deshae Towson going to be assistant
DB coach.
And I need they named a DB coach.
They did.
I think I'm not sure the name, so I'm not going to abuse it. But they've had some transitions there, and for me, I look at that defense before we get to quarterbacks, and I'm just going to hold that to the last segment. Let's just break down the Cardinals real quick because I want you to have your time, and I know that you're very educated on the subject, and I don't want to cut you off. But the Cardinals, I mean, if you look at their defense, you look at Ray Horton and what he brings that Steeler mentality,
blitz.
Obviously a blitz, but he learned under the tutelage of
Dick LeBeau,
and we saw the success that Capers had. But does he have the players?
Right. The players are going to dictate system. If he's successful.
Does he have the players right now to dictate that? Obviously, play with Joey Porter. Joey Porter was there in Pittsburgh. But you have to ask yourself, if you're management, is Joey Porter the Joey Porter of old?
He's not.
Calais Campbell needs to be on the outside. He needs to be defensive end. He should not be in the inside,
right.
in my mindset. The linebackers, they're big, they're athletic. But are they that type of Steeler linebacker? Secondary, I like.
Yep. And I like him more if they got secondary. Patrick Peterson with the number 5 pick. But with that being said.
Okay, and break down Patrick Peterson for me. Who is this guy?
He's from Pompano, Florida. Went to LSU. He was number 1 rated recruit in the country when he came out of the country.
Okay.
Pompano Eli High School.
How did he do this year?
Extremely well. He is. He won the Bronco Nagurski, but more importantly, he won the Jim Thorpe Award.
Ooh, that's for DB though, right?
Correct, DB. He's the best DB.
He's also a DB.
He's a DB, cornerback.
Okay, so Dave, you need pressure on the quarterback though.
True. You do need that.
We need that.
Here's my problem with it. I understand that. But the year before with essentially the same front.
But no, you can't say that because you had Kurt Warner. You can't say that.
No, I'm talking about the defense.
No, you did not because you had Bertrand Berry, who attributed for 8 to 9 sacks, and you had Shaquille Kiefer.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
And you missed that this year. I'm sorry.
You missed that as a backup, but those were not going to be consistent infusion players in terms of down for down.
But Bertrand Berry added 9 sacks.
Okay.
He added pressure to the quarterback.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, that combination of what it is, obviously the quarterback playing well, momentum, we'll just take that play out of there. But Darnell Dockett, Calais Campbell benefited from another person taking some attention away.
Sure.
And they didn't have that. Calais Campbell got double-teamed all day.
Right.
Darnell Dockett, what some people say took plays off, but whatever. I watched it. Intense, I mean, very detailed. He got double-teamed. I mean, could he play better? The whole defense could have played better.
Right.
But what it happens is you need pressure coming from every aspect, whether it's blitz. Adrian Wilson, yeah, he can be great, but if he's the only one getting home, what effect does it have?
You're also hoping that you have the development of the last first-round Dan Williams playing in the middle because you're going
to
need him.
We're
going to need him to step up, and I think you began to see that toward the end of the year of getting used to playing in that
system. So would it come down to coaching? Do they need to coach these guys up? I mean,
Well, first of all, I think we're still in evaluation.
Pittsburgh doesn't have great DBs or great
they don't.
Well, Polamalu, but everyone, they're not superstars.
Ike Taylor.
But they're not great on the outside,
I agree with
that.
Ike Taylor, you told me they ran a 4-2.
A couple of times. Each time he ran a 4-2.
And he's been playing for 10 years, it seems like.
Yeah.
So he's doing something right.
He's skilled, he's seasoned. But, I like Ryan Clark.
But you can take chances too, Dave, when you have a front seven that's amazing.
And the best linebacking core in the country, in the NFL.
They're getting old.
They're somewhat long in the
tooth. It's really fair here.
Well, no, you got Timmons, remember, don't he is considered LeBeau considers him to be the best all.
No, I'm saying Ferrier in terms of age. He's the only one getting up there. Timmons
right.
is relatively
Timmons
young.
Timmons is young, right.
Woodley
is
Harrison,
still relatively young.
And Harrison's
Harrison.
About 30, 31. So, they're going to be
he's
competitive.
He's extremely motivated.
To get that cash exactly. and bring that heat.
Yeah, he does.
I'm a fan of his.
I like him.
Watching this game, when you teach your son and you want someone to play the game the right way, because this is a gladiator sport. I don't care what anybody says. And I know that they're trying to teach the right ways to wrap up, but there's a certain mentality that you have to have when you play in this game.
It's what, wig peeling, you mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have to go in there with the mentality that I'm about to knock this dude's face off. I'm about to physically go in there and try and protect myself and play it. You have to go to a whole nother level. And I can relate to what you go when you're dealing with. And I don't want to say war because a game is not that serious. It's a game.
It's a control rage is what you're saying?
Absolutely.
That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to go in there with the mindset, be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
some Pastor Troy,
little John.
Yeah, you definitely have to be ready. But we'll talk more. We'll let Dave break down quarterbacks after the break. Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network. Roland Hill, Damian Anderson, and Dave Lockhart.
Now I'm ready to squeeze. Watch them all cry and make them get on their knees. Get on your knees and cry. You know the reason why. You ungrateful motherfucker, I can't believe you lied. You tried to fake.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, speak up.
Speak up
or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, David Anderson.
As we always do, we like to have fun on the show and entertain. Maybe not you, but we definitely entertain ourselves. But coming back, we're going to break down the 2011 NFL draft at the quarterback position. And as we mentioned, we alluded to earlier in the show that there may not be a guy in the first round, potentially at some spots, but there's just not that, as we say, franchise. It's a very, let's say this, Dave, and I'm sure you would agree with and talk more about, it's a very defense-laced draft.
Yes, it's
which
defense
it seems to be a trend over the past couple years.
Sure, I would agree with that. It seems to be a more concentration on defense and defendant players, especially at the top end of the draft. Mm-hmm. This year, the draft took a body blow when Mr. Andrew Luck Everybody's consensus number one pick decided that he would return to high to college.
And we talk about he got that good life.
Yeah, he got that good. See, yeah. I mean, his situation is definitely a lot different than he reminds you of the Mannings. Okay,
absolutely.
He can afford to
both
say,
of them went for their senior year.
Went to their senior year. Both of them finished. And no one seemed to have suffered from the fact that they could go back and they could take the risk or jeopardize their slotted.
Because
position.
If we think about Eli, I mean, although Peyton was very celebrated and he had a tremendous college career before, I mean, he was the Tim Tebow before there was Tim Tebow, but Eli was not celebrated. I mean, he struggled a bit.
Right, he was good, but he wasn't necessarily great in my mind, even
absolutely.
At Ole Miss.
I mean, the same type of, I guess, aura around him now. It's like he's good, but he ain't great.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL.
That being said, did you hear what came out? People were saying that he's acts somewhat retarded. Did you get that?
Eli Manning?
Yeah, they were talking about Eli.
I don't believe that.
No, they're not. They were saying in terms of how he acts, how it comes off.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. He does have a doofus look about him, to be honest, when you see him.
But he can play that game.
But clearly, he can play football, and that's just a look.
Right.
It's clear
that
he understands the game and that he's able to process a great deal of information in a short period of time and transition that to actual play.
And David, I know that one of your buddies does a quarterback camp, but did you hear much about the Manning quarterback camp and what they do there
in Louisiana? I've heard some of what they're doing, and from what I hear, the instruction is pretty good.
So I mean, I know that college quarterbacks, like my college quarterback, when we were in college, Zach Kustak went there and he said it was an unbelievable experience.
I can believe that because it's hands-on, meaning that you work with
So is it his dad?
No. The Mannings, all of them are there, and they're actually teaching drills and giving instruction.
Really?
So it's not just a name that's been, hey, I'm going to give you this license to use the Manning name. No, they actually are present, and they assist in the running of the camp.
So obviously, Dave, at the quarterback position, how much is it intelligence and how much is it actually physical gifts? Or can you have a guy that's just very intelligent, average arm, and be great?
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I wouldn't say great, but he's more than just adequate. The quarterback that's presently at Buffalo right now. Came out of Harvard, had shown his wares, I guess, if you will, in Cincinnati and then St. Louis, and now has the opportunity where he is now the starting quarterback in Buffalo.
So is it just because he's went to Harvard?
Let's not kid ourselves. He's a good athlete now. But when you think of him, right. When you think of him, he's not in the athletic
prototype.
Right. And he doesn't fall within the same group of a Cam Newton or a Vince Young.
But I mean, Cam Newton is a guy.
Or even a Michael Vick. But you know what? You don't have to be that to be successful.
One of what I thought about, and I know that, but it was very similar, and I really like him to think Cam Newton to Vince Young. And I hope not. And I think very similar in terms, if you look about their success, both of them were very similar in high school, dominated, very similar in college, dominated. Cam Newton's won at every place that he's been. But to me, I saw the attitude aspect from Cam Newton. I mean, there seems to be, and I hope that you can grow and things can be different, but to me it was just certain mannerisms, and that's things that people, there's a microscope on you, and just how you act and how you're perceived and everything about that. And I think that he would feel himself if he's selected at that 5 overall.
Well, I know he can handle adversity.
He
clearly can do that. From the time,
and that's what Mel Kiper said. Right. You know, when I saw him on the Big Four Letter Network, it was one thing that he said. We know that he could definitely handle pressure.
Oh, sure. Pressure and adversity does not seem to bother him.
But I will say, the game of that magnitude, the national champion, he didn't have his best game.
Well, yeah.
He threw the ball well. But he didn't have his best game, and they were just bubble screens.
And he played well enough to win, though. He still played well enough to win. He won. He might have even been injured. Remember, he had to leave the podium early to receive treatment in connection with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and you always have to think about the layoff. They have this long layoff before they actually play the game.
True.
So,
I mean, he's a great athlete. He's the best.
Sure.
I think he's the best athlete in the draft this year.
The Auburn team is the same team from last year.
They played Northwestern. They barely won in the Outback Bowl.
So what was the major change?
Cam Newton.
And what happened?
Championship.
Exactly.
TJ Hoosman, your mama. Championship. But no, I mean, so Dave, break down Cam Newton. I mean, I know that we have our list here talking about a little bit of things, but give me your perspective on Cam Newton.
Boom or bust, in my opinion. I think that he has all of the athletic ability.
So he's the biggest upside, but the biggest risk.
Exactly. I look at him as having the biggest upside and also the biggest risk. A man. 6'5", 6'6", 250 pounds. What everybody wanted to try to talk about is, can he throw and all that. Has a beautiful delivery. The ball whips and zips off his hand.
Let me say this. Better Dante Culpepper?
Better athlete than Dante Culpepper.
Or Vince Young?
He's between the two. I'm sorry, Culpepper or Vince Young?
Culpepper or Vince Young.
I would take Culpepper.
Really?
Yeah. I've never been a Vince Young fan. I've seen film of Vince Young.
But he wins.
At high school.
All I do is win.
Yeah,
you're
right. If you 500 or worse, he's your boy. He's your he's your Huckleberry. Okay?
Right, okay.
Huckleberry.
It has a lot to do with the way they built the team, too. Okay.
Okay.
I don't find him to deal with adversity extremely well. He is fine when he's the best athlete on the field, a la the national championship in 2005.
You talking about Vince Young?
Vince Young.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right.
Now, but think about it. I mean, I'm just talking about coming out.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about Vince Young?
I didn't. I still was not a Vince Young fan.
But you're a Cam Newton fan.
I like Cam Newton
for
a lot.
The reasons.
For the reasons that you're dealing with a person that handles one adversity better, in my opinion. And I think he's more of a complete package than Vince Young right now. There's not much tweaking. For instance, you're going to have to do with delivery. You're not going to have to.
Understanding the game? Because what I've understood, just from what I'm hearing, is that the game plan for Auburn Tigers was very simplistic.
Oh yeah, but it was simplistic also for Vince Young as well, right? Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, if a quarterback can stay 6 years in college, they need to, because the jump, as you know, as you transition into the NFL, is an extreme jump, and many people cannot handle the fact that they're generally not going to be successful.
Right.
During that first year, and it's going to take some time to acquire and learn the offense, the intricacies, mm-hmm. and the different defenses you're seeing. When we were at college, what'd you run? Cover three. Defense. All you got to read is cover three.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cover two.
Man, zero cover.
That's all you're reading.
Yep.
There's so many variations. Nobody was zone
hybrid. They'll go one zone over here and run a whole other coverage on the other side of the field.
Right.
Because they got a defensive end that could cover the flats.
What we call the transition, and correct me if I'm wrong, was they're in a two and they rolled to a three on the snap.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so that was so easy to read.
Right. Absolutely.
You don't deal with those things. Okay.
But I mean, that's also with the good coaching staff too that can use some pre-snap keys, some motion and things like that, and just have some reads and know where the safety's going to be and have that one or two read, and that's all you're reading.
Right. That's all.
Keep it simplistic. Very Sam Bradford-ish play action.
Matt Ryan's first year. You're going to give him two reads and that's going to be it. If it's not there, get in the win. Okay, so.
Damn, gotcha. Y'all, I'm dizzy, man. O2 read.
So we got another quarterback who's touted as the number one guy.
Sure.
I mean, number one quarterback.
Blaine Gabbert.
From, and I didn't see much of him, but obviously his name's coming out. A lot having a strong arm. A lot of people are liking him to Stafford out of Georgia.
Right.
I mean, tell me about this guy.
I saw Blaine Gabbert when he actually was in high school in St. Louis. He's from Missouri, so he's a hometown kid. He has the prototypical size. He's 6'5", probably around the 225,
he is a big
230.
Guy.
Big guy. But the offense he plays into is very unconventional as well. And it's a spread offense, so you're not going to get an opportunity to look at him and say, how easily this transitions over into the NFL. He has a problem with completion percentage last year, under 60%, but he's now over 63.5, threw 16 touchdowns by 4 interceptions.
Where do you see him going before or after camp?
It depends on how elated they get in the next week with the combine coming next week. If Cam Newton blows it up, he's going number one.
Will he go?
He will go, and he says
he's going to work out.
He has not decided what he will do just yet, but I bet he does everything, maybe butt throw, and that's going to be good enough.
Okay. And what about Ryan Mallett?
Ryan Mallett. Look like Tarzan, play like Jane when it's tough.
Okay.
He's a 6'6" guy, about 230 pounds. Questions about his head and his leadership. Has some off the field issues that causes you concern when you're thinking about the quarterback position.
Really?
However, throw for 30 touchdowns. Only person to have done that this year, I believe, and has all the tools.
I mean, there's three of them that I want to get to, but definitely Colin Kaepernick.
I love Colin Kaepernick. Loved him ever since.
He has a bit of unconventional throwing.
Came out of the pistol.
Yeah.
Very unconventional. Huge athlete. Poor man's Cam Newton. Okay,
really?
Is what I call
because
him.
Because he's a great athlete.
He is. Yeah. He's a poor man's Cam Newton. Throws it over 90 mile per hour fastball for whatever it's worth.
He's a knockoff.
And he's 6'6".
But how will he transition to the pro game, Dave?
He looks like Brad Smith to me. He plays for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
You can use him in that capacity.
Okay,
I like him.
What about Andy Dalton, TCU?
I like him. He has started ever since he was a
And they're
freshman.
Very high. Ty McShay in what's his name?
Tommy Shea and Kuiper.
Kuiper, very high.
He is your sleeper in the entire draft. Could be a starter, and you're going to get him for relatively cheap.
Who was touted out before Luck was Locker, number one quarterback in the nation.
Never liked him from day one. Beautiful athlete. Looks the part very well. Horrible completion percentage. Totally isn't inaccurate. Great athlete at quarterback position.
Where will he go?
He'll go second round.
Who's your best jewel out of all the quarterbacks we named?
The best jewel out of all of those guys would have to be Cam Newton because of the huge upside compared to everyone else.
There it is, guys. guys, and you can reach more at Dave at his
law. Sound like you guys buying horses,
you,
man.
You can reach more at Dave at his law offices. Where, Dave?
I'm located at 2601 North 16th Street.
And you got a number? Email?
Oh, absolutely. 602-254-0311.
There it is, fellas.
I hope you don't need him.
We'd like
but
to thank you.
But if you do.
We'd like to gone wrong for you.
Bring the check.
We'd like to thank you for listening to Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network for
Dave Lockhart.
Roland Hill.
I'm Damian Anderson. See you guys next week, and have a great weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.